Good morning once again. The church is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, and we do need to continue to grow and flourish and spread the gospel and bring more people to Jesus Christ. Amen? That is our call. That is our purpose based on the final words of Jesus before he ascended back into heaven. And so we got to keep up the work, keep doing the good job that Jesus calls us to. A few years ago, and I'm not sure, I haven't seen it lately, but a few years ago there was a TV commercial, for those of you who watch television, about a man who needed to go down to the local hardware store. He had one thing he needed to get, and then the next scene shows him coming back with his arms full of all kinds of stuff, rakes, leaf blower, and just all kinds of stuff, pushing a mower, but he didn't get what he went for. Right? Or maybe you're one of those persons who's experienced the case of going to the grocery store. You have one thing you need to get, and you got everything that you saw along the shelves, and get home and look for that one thing, and it's not there because you forgot it. None of you are like that, are you? I hope not. Or maybe you're like the man who got up in the middle of the night to go get a drink of water. And before he went back to bed, he'd eaten a piece of cake, two pieces of pie, and had a Dagwood sandwich on the side. Sometimes we find ourselves getting sidetracked. A common hazard of humanity is to get sidetracked. We get distracted. Now, there are some individuals who have a personal problem that's labeled as ADD. But I would like to suggest that all of us have a form of ADD. It's spiritual ADD. Some of us are attention-distracted disciples. We're going along in life, and we just, something catches our attention. I remember a little joke about we're kind of like the bird dog. The bird dog is focused on one thing, and then all of a sudden a squirrel goes by, and what happens? Squirrel! And our attention is just totally taken off track. Some people, unfortunately, are altogether derailed disciples. They're going through a routine of going to church, but they really don't know what they're worshiping. They don't know what they believe. They don't read their Bible, so they don't know what the Bible says, and they just kind of listen to some speaker up front who's spouting off their philosophy of life, not based on anything except their personal experience. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are following that type of religion. Altogether derailed disciples. Hopefully we are the third type of ADD spiritual individuals. We are following the Almighty Divine Directive. God has given directions. He's given us orders. He's given us guidelines. And our heart wants to follow God. Our heart wants to follow Jesus. Amen? And that's what our goal is here, to make sure that all of us are following the Almighty Divine Directive. Let's not get distracted. But unfortunately, we read that it's a strong possibility. Because even the apostles got sidetracked from time to time. We're going to be looking at just a portion of this here in the scripture today. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Those verses tell us, talking about Jesus and his disciples. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So, looking at these passages, I came up with the thought of Christians influenced by ADD. And I would invite you to consider these thoughts and see where you're at in your walk with Jesus. But before we do that, let's ask God's presence to be here with us, to guide us. Thank you, Father, for your love, grace, and mercies. Your patience with us is tremendous. You want us to be part of your kingdom. You want us to enjoy eternity with you. You've invited us. You've made it possible because Jesus has paid for all sin with his death on the cross. We thank you that it didn't end there. The story continued with his resurrection. And he's promised to come again to claim all those who walk with him and take us to be with you in the eternal home that you are preparing for us. Thank you for these promises. Thank you for your Bible. Thank you for those who've gone before us, who have shared the message of Jesus, and that we have been able to hear. Help us to continue to hear, to grow, to mature, and to be attentive to you, you alone, to watch out for the deception of Satan, of false stories, of false beliefs, but to walk in the path of Jesus and your scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So my first thought is that we need to guard against those distractions and derailment. Guard against those distractions and the derailment, those first two ADDs. The apostles have just invested 3.5 years of their lives with the master teacher from Nazareth, sharing their lives, their food, their troubles, their victories, everything with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They've been walking with him, living with him, doing his instructions, following his instructions, listening to him, pushing the crowds back, bringing people to him, all kinds of things. Whatever Jesus wanted, they were there for the last 3.5 years. They've tasted of life. They've experienced death. And they just experienced what? The resurrection. Jesus conquering the grave by the power of God. But where is their mind? What are they thinking about? Are they focused on the Lord of life who has the words of life? No. Hear their hearts in this question. They want to restore Israel's physical kingdom. They want that physical kingdom back. They're thinking about the days, they're dreaming of the days gone by, the faded glory days of King David, King Solomon, and all of those other kings whose power had influenced the world. Do you see it there? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They want a physical kingdom. These disciples despise the presence of the Roman legions in their land. Yes, the Romans were oppressing them. They were taxing them. They were harsh on the people. You could walk down the road and you could see crucifixions of other people. Jesus wasn't the only one who died by crucifixion. Thousands upon thousands of Jewish people had died by that and other means. And May I suggest that maybe these disciples are thinking, you know, it's about time we got some vengeance, Lord. Look at all the bad things those Romans did to us. If God's on our side, and then we're on God's side, if God's on our side, it is about time we got a little bit of vengeance. None of us have ever felt that, have we? Somebody did something to us, took something of ours, and what is our reaction? We want justice. The disciples have even coveted leadership positions, second only to Jesus, so that they could call down God's judgment on anyone who got in their way, did not think the way they did or speak the way they did. You remember James and John? Lord, that village over there, they're not following you. Why don't you call down fire on them? Do you remember that story? Yeah. They wanted things to go their way. But Jesus was teaching differently. Jesus was talking about turning your cheek if somebody slapped you. Jesus talked about forgiving how many times? 7 times 70? You got to be kidding. 7 times 70? In other words, let it go. Let God take care of it. And they still weren't listening. Love God and love your, who? Neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? Even your worst enemy, even the Romans. Love them. So we see that the disciples have a problem with covetousness, coveting power, coveting position. Third of all, many in today's church self-identify as God's chosen ones. But they, or should I say we, are we God's chosen people? We don't like to put ourselves in this category, but some people forget and excuse and ignore their own sinful nature of their own actions and their own attitudes and don't change. And yet God calls for what? Repentance, change of lifestyle and change of thoughts. Some people are self-serving instead of spreading the message of Jesus. They're thinking about, how can I make this work out to benefit me? Instead of, how can I best help you? Sorry, Bob, you might get some more food. They are lukewarm, like the church at Ephesus, in committing to only talking about Jesus when it's convenient, living for Jesus only when it's convenient, not openly serving Him, not openly talking about the goodness of God. And these people do not joyfully give back to God, but begrudgingly say, well, I guess I better give something. That's not us, I hope. The chosen ones. You know, as U.S. citizens, we have a fantastic privilege to vote for our leaders. And we're right in the middle of the showdowns. Are you getting tired of it yet? Hearing all the promises, all the accusations. But we have been given quite a privilege to vote for our leaders in government. And that is part of our action as salt and light in our world. But that is not our primary purpose. And I have to remind myself of that. Now, I do pray that there are Christians who are in the effort to enter the political world to make things better for our community, state, nation, and I firmly believe we need to support those individuals. But what is our primary call? Our primary call is to share Jesus with our neighbors, our people that we come in contact with. And if we change people's hearts individually and live for Jesus and show people how to live for Jesus every day, not just voting for one person, but trying to influence hundreds of people. Or maybe your influence is only on 10 people, or maybe only on 2 people. But living for Jesus and sharing the gospel message with the people around us and changing their heart, would that do more for our nation than voting for one person? Or a combination of the two? Voting for righteous leaders and continuing to fulfill our gospel call to go into the world to preach the gospel, baptizing those who believe, continuing to teach them the ways of Jesus Christ. Another thing I see in the apostles' interaction with Jesus is the apostles wanted to know future events. They wanted to get ahead of everyone else, and I would suggest it's probably for selfish reasons. Jesus tells them, no, only God the Father is to know that. You don't need to know this. False religions are based upon imitation messages of gods. False gods. People have been enthralled and flirting with the abilities to foretell the future since ancient times. I would suggest since Noah and his family got off the ark. And we see the division of humanity at the Tower of Babel, and with that division comes a multiple blossoming of false beliefs. Satan working through people, gladly deceiving multitudes with impressive deceptions, visions, confusions, and lies. Several popular TV shows center on psychics, on people reincarnated, people with special abilities. Witches, warlocks, and angels permeate modern shows, cartoons, starting our little kids off with these ideas, and books are galore. They're all around us. Are we part of the millions who read horoscopes in the newspapers or look them up on the internet? Do we play with the Ouija boards? Do we play with the tarot cards? Do we attend the seances? I haven't heard a lot of this here lately, but it's still around. And these are all attempts to find out things about the future, which God says, no, you don't need to know that. God has never approved any of these efforts to seek out the future. In fact, under the Mosaic Law, anybody who was found to be practicing those actions were to be executed immediately. Well, we're not living under the Mosaic Law, are we? We're living under the grace through Jesus Christ. So what did Jesus do? What did the church do? Well, we read what the church did in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Paul cast out the spirit of divination out of the slave girl. It got him thrown into jail, but he still cast out the demon that was giving her wisdom and knowledge about the future. In Acts chapter 19, verse 19, the Christians in Ephesus burned all of their books and all their literature, all their materials that they were using for the purpose of magic and foretelling the future. It was not accepted in the church, and we should still stand that ground, trusting in who? In God. Putting our trust in Jesus Christ, following Him. For the Scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? With all of your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. God is to be first place in our lives, in all things. Trusting Him, praying that His will is done in the future, but even when evil seems to thrive, who do we still follow? We still follow God. We still maintain our faith in God. Some of the disciples wanted to have the knowledge of God. To be equal with God is basically what that amounts to. To know everything that God knows, where does that put you? That's making yourself a god. And that is a violation. God says, how many gods are there? Just Him. He is God and God alone, and we are to have no other gods. The very first command. Don't have any other gods before the Lord God. We go clear back to the book of Genesis at the very beginning. How did Satan tempt Eve in the deception? She said, you will be like who? God. If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's putting herself on an equal basis with God. And God says, no, you don't do that. This attitude is coveting God's power. It's coveting God's authority, coveting God's supremacy. This violates the first commandment, as I have already said, to have no other gods. We are to worship the Lord God and only the Lord God and His blessed Son, who came in human flesh, Jesus Christ. God has never permitted knowledge of the future unless it was Him revealing it through His prophets for His glory. Not for the glory of people, but for His glory. The words and the testimonies that God has revealed to us in the Bible are to be sufficient for us. We don't need any more Bible. We've got more than... How much of this do you have memorized? Do we need more Bible? We've got more than enough. We don't know all that we have already. And yet we see people saying, oh, I have a new revelation. I have a new idea. I have a new religion. In other words, they are putting themselves above the God who gave us our Bible. We don't need that. Well, look out. Never trust somebody who's leading you away from the Scripture. God did not permit more knowledge unless He is receiving the glory. The Bible already reveals our sinful nature. The fact that God loved us enough to send us His Redeemer, Jesus. How many more Redeemers do we need? No more. Jesus is enough. He's the one Savior. He's the one that we can put our full trust in because He has conquered the grave and He's promised through Him we too can conquer the grave. When He comes again, He will raise all the dead and those who are His, He will take with Him to heaven and those who are against Him will be cast into the lake of fire. All people are accountable to who? We are accountable to Jesus. Jesus commands us to not worry about tomorrow. You have enough worries for today. How many of you have enough worries for today? Jesus said we do. So we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We need to leave that up to God. We are to focus on living each day for the glory of Jesus Christ. God is the only one who needs to be concerned with the future, how it will turn out. We are to live for Him today. So we see some problems with the attitude of the apostles at this point in their life. Jesus calls us to follow His ADD. His almighty divine directive. We see this in verses 8 through 11. He addresses this with the disciples, and we still need to remember that lesson. Like every train, the church must stay on track with the proper directives that Jesus has given, that God has given. We need to walk, ride, flow with Jesus. Stay on track. The church must keep the right goal in focus in order to stay in the right line that leads to heaven and eternal life. There are a lot of distractions. On the picture behind there, you see that there's a lot of sidetracks. Don't let yourself get sidetracked. Keep your focus on the goal of being faithful to Jesus. Christ's message must remain the priority. To be a Christian is to be a servant of who? Jesus Christ and Him alone. Christians are given divine power at their enrollment and commissioning. We've talked about that, the giving of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit was foretold in the Old Testament by Jesus before His crucifixion. The Lord again reminds them of this power that they are to receive from God, but they have to go back into Jerusalem to wait for it. They aren't told how many days they will wait. Turns out they have to wait 10 days. What would you do for 10 days if you had to wait for something from God? The disciples all prayed and kept their focus on praying. Appreciate the devotion Brother Bob gave earlier. We got to spend a lot of time in prayer. How much? Pray without ceasing. Always in communication with our Father. Sometimes more intensely, sometimes in just general attitudes. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for a chair to sit on. Thank you for air conditioning. Thank you for that person ahead of me, that person behind me. Thank you, I have vehicle. Thank you, I've got 2 feet. Thank you for whatever. God needs to hear from us constantly. We see that 10 days later in the scripture, which we have not read yet, that the Holy Spirit did come to the apostles, that power that was promised. And then Peter announced on that very same day that all those who believe in Jesus Christ, all who repent from their sin and are immersed into Christ would receive that same gift of the Holy Spirit. Christ gave the church the plan of action, the church's marching orders, the trackway that they needed to follow. They said, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then where? To the ends of the earth. To be witnesses about the salvation that comes in one person and only one person, Jesus Christ. To affect their neighbors, to affect the neighboring countries, to infect and bless the whole world. And you know what? We have inherited that calling. You and me. We've heard the message. It's a cyclical message. Once we become a Christian, we need to learn all we can about Jesus Christ and what the Scriptures give to us. And then what do? Put it in our safe? Hide it away? No, we are to share it with those around us so that they can enjoy it too. We see that the first century disciples obeyed Jesus Christ. 10 days after that, they did receive the Holy Spirit. They gladly and boldly taught others about Jesus Christ, and they continued to share that message until the end of their lives, even if it was by execution. This same Spirit is to be moving in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says, the Holy Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Jesus and God want to glorify us, but we have to walk in faithfulness to Jesus Christ. We have to walk with the Spirit leading us and guiding us. We have inherited the Great Commission. The world is full of new generations of people who have not heard. They still don't know the message of Jesus. They've heard the name, usually in a cursing tone. We need to share the real message of who Jesus is. We need to live that message. The apostles were awestruck by Jesus Christ, his dramatic exit. What would happen if I just started floating out of this room? Would any of you be a little surprised? I would be surprised if I saw one of you start floating away. Now, if we were in a circus, I would see the guy wires that was pulling you up. But Jesus had no guy wires. Jesus just started floating up in the sky, returning back to his home at the right hand of heaven, of God in heaven. And then he disappeared. And they're just kind of standing there with their mouth hanging open. What had just happened? Jesus went home. And then suddenly two men are standing beside them. Why are you standing there staring this guy? And they said, you need to get back to doing what you were just told to do. Go back to Jerusalem and wait for the power. Yes, sir. And they did that. But they were taken aback by Jesus floating away. What was on their mind as they watched Jesus float away? His message that he had just given to them, his command, maybe the miracles, maybe the fact that Jesus had conquered the grave. We don't know, but they were just standing there. Their feet were kind of frozen in place. And it took two men, but the implication is they were angels. God sent angels. He said, guys, you're not done yet. Go do what you're supposed to do. Get with it. Get back to the program. Get on track. As you read the scripture, are you awestruck to reflect upon the records of the Lord's healing power, his knowledge, his ability to mend, to cast out evil, to cast out demons, to raise the dead? Does Jesus strike you with awe? The word awe is kind of overused today. Well, that was awesome. What was awesome? The taste of that French fry. No, that's not awesome. Awesome means you're left breathless. And scripture indicates awesome is when we come into the presence of God, we are left breathless because he is so perfect and we are so sinful. And only by the blood of Jesus are we made pure so that we can be in the presence of Jesus, presence of God. Are you ready for the sky to rip open, as Jesus has told us it will do? For Jesus to return in power, to take all people from this earth, to stand before God in judgment? Are you ready to receive the statement, well done, good and faithful servant? Or are you going to receive the message, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I want the first one. I think you want the first one too. But we need to be living for Jesus. Remember who the Lord is and who is the servant. Don't get it mixed up. Jesus is Lord. I am his servant. The apostles were reminded they were but men. Jesus floated away. They had to walk. Two men suddenly appeared to them. They had to go wait. While Jesus floats, we still walk. We are feeble, just as the apostles were feeble in their minds, but they were empowered with the Spirit. And what are we? We are empowered with the same Spirit through Jesus Christ, if we obey him. As we conclude these thoughts, there are many grand and noble activities that can distract us from our primary calling. The main focus of the church is to tell the world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has paid for all sins with his death, burial, and he has raised from the dead. He has conquered death, and we can conquer death too if we follow Jesus Christ. Don't forget the calling. Don't get sidetracked. There are a lot of things that can pull us away from our main directive, from following the right track. There are a lot of good things, a lot of good clubs, a lot of good organizations, but there's only salvation through one, Jesus Christ. So if you want eternity, walk with Jesus. Obey Jesus. Be a sold-out believer for the one who died and conquered the grave for you. How do we do that? Keep our focus on Jesus. Follow the directions of the Scriptures. And do what the Scriptures say. Share the message with the people around us. We are called to be productive, to invite others, to talk about Jesus, to lead them to Jesus Christ. So let's find ways to do that, so they, too, can have eternal life. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for goodness and grace and mercies, for your watching care over us day by day. Thank you for the Scriptures that instruct us and show us your involvement with other individuals. We've looked briefly at the lives of the apostles. We thank you that in spite of our weaknesses, our frailties, you are still there to help us. You're patient with us, gracious towards us, and you give us your power to do your will. You guide us with your Spirit. You guide us with your Scriptures. We thank you for the church family, that we can help each other. Let us be your bold witnesses, standing firm, helping one another, be true to Jesus and his ways. Your ways. Lead us and guide us as we go our separate ways here in a few moments, that we will serve you and honor you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.